Welcome to a Paddock Walk edition of the Talking Leaves podcast. This isn't the second take, as we stand here in bright sunshine at Julius. It's been absolutely mad. You can see the dark clouds in the background. The weather has been all over the place this weekend, and so have the results as well. If you haven't seen it, go back and watch on the broadcast all weekend long. It's really hard to summarise, but in a nutshell, Johan Kristoffersen won the final. That didn't tell the whole story. Patrick O'Donovan led overnight with a best time, I think, of fifth from the first three qualifiers. Juha Ruktunen then won the top qualifier position after a rain hit Q4 on Sunday morning. Quarterfinals were absolutely bonkers. Semi-finals equally so, but come the final, Johan Kristoffersen did what Johan Kristoffersen does best and took the win ahead of OC Veby, who delivered a really good fight-back drive, and Kasper Janssen, who claimed a medium home podium. We'll talk about all of the different categories as we go through the paddock, but I'm about to stick on my rucksack and take a tour around. We're currently backstage in the TV compound, so I will give you a little look as we go. These are all the cameras being packed away. Emily, one of the crew here. Julius, the man who deals with the replay machine all weekend long to deliver all the replays. Let's have a quick look in the truck, actually. Since we're here, we'll follow Julius up the steps. So this is the outside broadcast unit, which is all very quiet now. Normally, there'll be a whole row of people sitting here. This is Matt, who does all the graphics, and these are all the screens that the crew will watch all weekend long. So if we just have a quick little look here, this is Kasper Janssen's onboard. That's Kasper Janssen's face onboard. Kristoffersen is in scrutineering at the moment, as you can still see all the onboard cameras still running. This is the desk that the director uses to press all the buttons, choose all the cameras. Matt, our brilliant producer, sits here, so he talks to all of the different people working on the broadcast. There's Hal, Coley, there'll be a Clara here somewhere, and Julius on EVS, EVS being the replays machine. As I say, he's still working on the highlight show. There's different rooms in here for audio and all sorts of different things that are required in broadcasting. That's the spotters truck, as many rallycross fans will be well aware of. And up here is the commentary box, and this is our view across the start line. Everything is getting packed up. Not long since the final finished, but there's a lot to do. Only a couple of weeks ahead of the next round in Mondello Park. Johnny DePiner's car has been for a wash, very clean and tidy, as that drives back past us towards the set promotion awning. Already the paddock is very quiet indeed. Let's start down here and see who we find and then work our way through. Walking down towards Volland Racing. Niels Volland was well inside the quarterfinals, did well actually in amongst the turbulence of the heats, but just didn't quite get it done come the quarters to make it through to the semis. Is Niels around massive outdoors? Here's someone we'll speak to on his scooter, Nicholas Galenz. It's it's been tough, hasn't it? Looking at your car, you're missing front bodywork and rear bodywork. Yeah, had a spin there in the semi-finals. Talk us through your weekend from your point of view.
It was a good start of the weekend on the Q1. Q2 I was held up. Q3 was actually quite good in my heat, but you know, track evolution, so the heat after mine, they were a bit faster, almost by 6 seconds, I think. So that put us down in the standings. And then Q4 was pretty good. Could have been a bit better, but I'm still happy with it. And semi-final, just bad landing after the jump. I'm happy because it was good fighting and good defending. But so it goes, you know. It was a bit of my mistake, a bit too, how can I say? A bit too hard on the jump and...
Optimistic.
Yes, optimistic, too optimistic. You know, I love this track, so a bit too optimistic on the jump and a bad landing, so it happens.
Just a couple of weeks till Mondello Park. You've driven there for a couple of days in a Suzuki Swift with the British Rallycross Championship. What are your hopes putting this weekend behind you and moving on to Ireland?
I wouldn't say putting it behind me, because I'm happy with this weekend in terms of fighting and evolution, as in not making stupid mistakes, as forgetting to take the Joker and putting myself in the wall. So I'm happy with that. Putting the bad stuff, not especially either, because you'll always learn from it, but I would say learn from it and get better for Ireland, yeah, definitely.
Thank you, mate. What a great outlook. Thank you to Nicholas Gillens, who, yeah, everyone has to learn from the mistakes, don't they? Or, you know, the bad days, as I always say, the days that you learn to, you learn so much on your bad days. Leading from the front doesn't necessarily make you learn that much at all. I'm going to jump in here. Sorry, Janina, from FIA Championship Coordinator Jorik Linneman. You've been on the good end and the bad end of the quarterfinal rollout so far this year, haven't you? I don't think you ever expected to be where you ended up today, sixth place in the final. It was such a stacked field. You can't get away from the fact your car's pretty old and you don't drive as much as some of the other people. So how would you summarise this weekend?
Yeah, I got... somehow I get past some of the good guys and as you said, I didn't expect it to be in the final. When I saw the grid draw for the semi-final, I was pretty sure that it would be without me in the final, but I got one chance and I took it, so I'm really happy with the weekend, so sad that it's the end.
Pretty emotional weekend for you, I think. You've been doing this game a long time, a long, long time in the European Championship. You've raced here so many times here at Hillier, so you've made the decision just to step back a little bit with this car. Interestingly, you made the final of it, but ultimately, if you do come back, you want to do it with better equipment, so you've kind of decided to step away at the moment and see what you can do for the future.
Yeah, we have a group of people in Denmark who is working to find money, but sad that we didn't find a better budget for this year, so... to work 1 year to do three events, that's not what I want, so hopefully we can do better for the future, but for now it's the end.
You're running your own team at home in Denmark, Linneman Promotion going pretty well, bringing on young drivers, but there's absolutely no replacement for driving a rallycross supercar, is there? So I'm sure that there's still fire in you to try and keep doing this.
Yeah, for sure, I want to fight the big guns, and if I had the same tool that they have, I'm pretty sure that I will be closer to them, but let's see. Maybe it's a time for Mats to try a supercar, and maybe it's a comeback for me in a few years. I don't know, we'll see.
Thank you, Jorik. I hope to see you again, because it's a pleasure to have you here, Jorik Linneman. Mentioning Mats Larsen there, who has been racing a supercar lights with Jorik in the last couple of years, so maybe they will return this weekend. Here's a man who hasn't had an amazing weekend. Philippe Turenne, it's been tough, hasn't it, this weekend? You actually had great pace in Q4 and nearly made it through, but talk us through it. It's been tough for you.
Yeah, we struggled with the engine problem early in the Q1. And then the next Qs, Q2 and Q3, we just went through to gain the points. And then the team did an amazing job in the night to change the engine. And then we did a decent run in Q4 this morning. But unfortunately, it didn't recover the loss.
So disappointing, your home round of the European Championship. I know you've done a lot of testing, a lot of preparation for this weekend. You have good pace when it's going well, so it just goes like that sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, unfortunately.
And for Peter, running alongside you, Peter Hedström, he had an up-and-down weekend, but at good pace towards the end. I know not quite the result he wanted, but it must be pretty nice working alongside him.
Yes, we have a good, samarbete.
Yeah, good relationship, working together, and hopefully we'll see you back again in the future.
Yeah, you will. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. Good to see Philippe Turenne here. Moving on up the paddock here to David Norgaard's team. I'm going to grab a word with David Norgaard quickly because... I'm just squashing children. David, your stepson, in my eyes, is the star of this season. When you announced this was a two-year programme, and I know how little supercar experience he had coming into this year, one or two events, wasn't it, and a bit of testing... I'm not knocking your car, but it wasn't built by Audi Sport or Peugeot Sport or Hansa Motorsport. You built that at home in Norway, and Johannes has been an absolute star of this season so far. I know you'll be disappointed with the result again, because it could have been so much more, but how are you feeling about the whole process?
Our main goal was when we started this season was we was hoping that we maybe could see top 10 in a heat one time. And yeah, after Riga, we of course the goal is is changed, but we are quite satisfied over what's we didn't expect that this was possible.
I know you've done a lot of European Championship racing yourself as a driver. You've done a lot of supercar racing. Maybe most famous for that drive in Norway where you had the wheel off and you were dragging this very car around, actually. But how is it being on the other side, helping such a young talent like this going through? Are you missing the driving? Are you enjoying it just as much? How is it?
Of course, missing the driving, but yeah, when we can help and making improvements and so on like this, it's really fun with Johannes to when we get results and it's for me it's more fun than driving. It's difficult to say what to speak with it, but it's amazing that is possible with this car. So
keep pushing, mate.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. I'm going to be really rude here and jump into the back of the truck with Johannes, this is a proper family operation. He's loading the awning. I'm going to just stop you guys for a second as I climb in, mate. So disappointing to end up in the gravel in turn one, but actually, when you look at it overall, just chatting to David there, this season must be beyond your wildest dreams, really, to be taking on these drivers and doing so well.
Yeah, it's a bit quite disappointing to end there in the quarterfinal, but this is what it is. Can't do much about it now, but try to fix the car and get ready for Mondello Park. And overall of the weekend, we are very happy to be P4 over the night and have a good times and have a good car on wet. So that's good, but we are very happy of the weekend and now getting ready to Mondello Park.
Tell me, you've been to Helios many times. I'm sure you looked up to many of these drivers you're racing against. We were talking in the commentary about how young drivers used to look up to Kenneth Hansen or Per Eklund. Who were you looking up to when you were coming here and watching?
It has been Andreas coming and look up to him from Norway, and he was driving. I think the first season in the World Cup, the WM, and so it's him that I have and get a lot of help of him for. I am very happy with that.
And amazing to be in the same entry list and the same grid, the same races. Incredible to do that with your boyhood hero.
Yeah, it's incredible to that. I think 10 years ago, I don't think I would be here with starting in the European season with Andreas and so many other drivers.
Thank you, mate. Good luck for getting ready for Mondello. Johannes Rafoss, sorry for delaying his team in packing up. 10 years ago, he's 8 years old. Staggering, really. I do this chat on the presumption that most people watching and listening have seen what's gone on this weekend, and I can't really praise you what everyone has done over the course of the event, but I assume people know who Johannes Rafoss is. I'm just going to jump in quickly here and we'll watch the Paye competition, René McGann being loaded into the back of the transporter. Jonathan Paye, team manager, full-time working on this project. There's a French Championship event next weekend. We'll come back to these guys. First of all, we'll pop into the Automax awning. Julien Meunier, double winner and championship leader, coming here. Didn't have things all his own way. There's a big discussion going on here with the laptop and the Audi. Julien, I'm just going to interrupt a little bit. A big chat going on here. What happened? You didn't make it through to the final. You had a problem in the semi-final. There's obviously a big discussion going on here. What's the situation?
Yeah, we're talking about what's happened because after the first two corners, it's okay. Then I went to the velodrome and I tried to put the throttle to exit, and the car was like looks like some misfire on the car, but it's hard to explain. We look, and I think it's the ECU problem, so we need to manage that. We lose a lot of points this weekend, so lose the championship lead, and very disappointing to come here and just go back with 2 points. Very disappointed.
Electronic problems are a nightmare, aren't they? If you pull the wheel off, at least you can see what's wrong. The electronics issues take a lot of investigating. I'm sure you'll get it sorted, but yeah, like you say, a lot of points. And this car, I guess, is being used next weekend in the French Championship as well.
Yeah, so that's why we need to look the problem now. But we find a solution, so it will be okay. I think water came in the issue, actually. So, you know, it's racing, you can manage everything sometimes.
It's a big month this July for you here in Hulius, French Championship next weekend, then Mondello Park, more French Championship after that. It's going to be busy for you and your team.
Yeah, sure, it will be very busy because when I came back to home, I will leave tomorrow and go back to the workshop to prepare the Audi. And also we need to put back the engine on the Polo because it's racing with Murray on the Mondello. So yeah, it will be very, very busy. But we are ready and we'll try to do as May. We won all weekend, so we'll do to try to do the same, yeah.
Thank you, Julian. Good luck. See you at Mondello Park. Shame for him to lose out a little bit this weekend in the championship hunt. Yeah, Ribeiro's car next to us. Yeah, had good pace here, but just didn't quite have the car underneath and very sideways everywhere was Yao Ribeiro in the quarterfinals, I think it was, from memory. So much has happened this weekend, it's hard to remember. I'll have to have a little sleep on it and I think about it before I can remember that details like that. Paye competition still wrestling them again into the back of the truck, so I will leave them to it. Souza's Audi here, which lost a wheel in the RX3 final. All the wheels are now reattached to that car. Good job by them. All these teams carry so many spares that I'm sure that didn't take them very long at all, but disappointing for them. The Moser squad, Mark Moser's ex-Albatec Peugeot 208. Didn't have a great weekend, Mark Moser. I think there's more potential there. Oerlinkel Munich Motorsport packing up as well. Mandy Augustin, René Munich had a pretty great weekend. So many people not around, which is surprising, having a peer into Oerlinkel. People very keen to get home when it's a doubleheader weekend because either you want to get on the road and start heading to the next event or you want to get home and start the reprep, depending on where you're planning to do that reprep. For most of the teams, it'll be a situation of trying to get home from here because we're at the most northerly venue. Philip Mallon's having a FaceTime call with somebody.
FaceTime.
Hello. I've no idea who he's talking to. My Polish isn't very good, I'm afraid. But come on. Philip Mallon. In Hungary, you dominated. Brilliant weekend here.
Dominated, but it's okay.
Here has been more difficult. It's been super challenging for everybody, whether you're Johan Kristoffersen, Andreas Backrid or Philip Mellon. The weather's been tough. The track changes all the time, but you still managed to get to the front and then win the final. How has it been from the driving seat of your car?
The weather is not easy for all drivers. We change settings in the car, we sun, we rain, and this is difficult to drive. But yeah, we won, and I'm very happy. It was it's not easy, but it's very, very good, and we have a lot of points to the season.
And the atmosphere here is almost like no other. Hulius is a legendary rallycross venue and the magic weekend. Yeah. It's been a crazy weekend as well, a crazy magic weekend, but to achieve that here must be extra special.
Yes, it's special because we have a lot of fans in this track. I love the track because it's very difficult to drive it, but we have a section fast and slow. And we have very, very big jump. You see this, and this is difficult. But yeah, this is amazing weekend for us. Magic weekend, and thank you.
Thank you, mate. See you in Mondello Park.
See you.
Cheers, Philip.
Cheers.
Good to have Philip Mellon in the championship. Great character who, if there's anything we need more of, it's characters. We've got lots of fast drivers, but it's fantastically refreshing to have people like Philip around. Let's have a look in here. Here's a team I want to catch up with, although I'm about to have an awning bounced on my head. Adam.
Yes, hello, sir.
AT Racing Team.
Yes.
So you've taken the plunge. You've been working with KMS for so long now in the European Championship. You decided to go back and do your own thing after quite a while away.
Yeah.
Could you have dreamt that it would have got... Okay, the final didn't quite work out like you wanted, but the pace that Marius Stolberg Hansen had in your car this weekend, you're doing this arrive and drive package this year. It must have been pretty special for you.
Yeah, it is. That's true. We spent some time to prepare the car, to find the right setup. A bit struggle from the free practice, then we find the right pace together, and then we just continue doing what we are the best with. And so the struggle in the final was the tank, the case for the tank, which was not made in the right way, I think, from beginning, from factory. I think we have to report it to Renault so they can improve the thing a little bit. After the big jumps, the tank was ripped from the chassis, and this is how we end up.
I saw on social media ahead of the weekend you had some of the KMS boys down here helping put the awning up. I know you're a little way from them in the paddock, and it must be strange for you with them finishing 1-2 and you not being over there. But there's a lot of good feeling, isn't there? And you've really started this to try and create something and give an opportunity for people running these arrive and drive programs.
Yeah, for sure. But I still have lots of support from the guys. They are very cool, and they were visiting me many times and just following us for the whole weekend, including Johan and the top boys. So I think it's a bit special to do it on my own, and I'm still with them doing my own thing a little bit in between, but definitely I use the skills which I get during the years, plus the knowledge which I get from them to put all the things together, and this is what we show this weekend, I think.
You are trying to rent this car out for all the rounds of the European Championship. How is that looking for you?
Well, that was the plan. The good stuff about this is that the car can be rented for the rally after the rallycross season. So now we focus for the rallycross, of course. Our focus go there. We have no driver yet for Ireland. It's quite short time for Ireland. We are working to get someone on board for Lozada. And let's see what life brings after this event. I mean, it was a really good one for us, and people can see that we can deliver. So we hope for to grow the thing. You know? I think the category is great as a step-in category, or even for the good drivers, is a good stuff to do, I think.
Thank you, Adam. Great to have you here.
Thank you, mate.
See you again soon. There's a man that's been around for a long time in the rallycross paddock. Philip Mellon thinks I'm chasing him around now, but I'm just going to have a quick word with Marius Stolberg Hansen. Mate, I've known you a long time. You were quite a small boy when I was interviewing you in the British Rallycross Championship. Of course, you did Suzuki Swift Racing there. You've been off and done a lot of things in different series, RX2E even at one point. What's it been like racing in RX4 this weekend here in Hulius?
Oh, it's been incredible. The cars are super fun to drive, and a little bit hard to get to know the car and stuff, but it's a really good class, and I'm really looking forward to see how many cars this will be to the next year.
Have you got the bug a little bit? I know you've driven other things as well, but has this been enough to... I know you're disappointed to not win after being so fast all weekend, but are you tempted to come back for more?
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to have some meetings, and maybe we will come next year with Renault.
Fantastic. Well, sorry it didn't work out. Well, what happened in the final in the end?
No, it was... I start losing power, and then it just stopped, and that's because of the fuel tank just fall out of the car. Oh, yeah.
Yes, Adam said he has the box for the tank was a problem, but
yeah.
Nothing you can do at that stage, is there? And I guess you've been doing this game a long time now, so you know how it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's unfortunately, but that's how motorsport is.
Great to have you here. Hopefully, see you again soon. Boy said, if you're going to have two surnames in rallycross, Stolberg Hansen is not a bad way to go, is it? At least there's lots of success attached to those two names. Ben Bartlett in catering. Catering haven't started the evening meal yet, so I'll be heading there fairly soon, don't you worry about that. 11 Motorsport packing up as well. Let's just have a little shifty over to KMS. There's Johan Christofferson doing his weekend summary with the KMS videographer. Wonder if we can jump in and have a quick chat with Johan if he has a moment. Lots of people around in KMS. Of course, KMS are based not far down the road from here in Arvika, so they'll be going straight home. Johan Christofferson doing the Goodwood Festival of Speed next weekend, as are a few other rallycross drivers. May even be there myself if we can get the... No, I will be there myself, and I absolutely cannot wait with my Ford Fiesta. Dream stuff to be doing events like Goodwood. This is the peak of rallycross. This is Tommy Christofferson, rallycross legend, dealing with all sorts of horrible things that you wish you didn't really have to do, mate. But this is the life of a team owner, isn't it? Dealing with the waste tanks out of the kitchen and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, they save the best job for the boss.
Well, you are the boss, so I guess you have to muck in like everybody else. I don't know how many times you've been, hundreds of times you've been to Hulius. I guess you've never seen it quite like this weekend. It's been absolutely bonkers, hasn't it?
Yeah, stunning weekend with a lot of challenges from our point of view. I mean, it was tough to go here because we know that we've been struggling with the start, especially strong on the track, weak on the starts. So that was one challenge to face, and also it wasn't the best start with a puncher for OC. We all know that it's very difficult if you have a problem in the beginning, because every cue is very important. Continue with a black flag for Johan. Continue again with a very rainy heat for Johan when we need it as most to have a good score point. So, but nevertheless, when we reached the quarter and the semi-final, we was very strong. Also in the final, we was very strong. So I'm really proud about the team and how we work and with the drivers and how we face the challenges that we put in front of. And it feels actually like this is the first weekend that we reach the full potential of the car, because earlier year we have a possibility to do some race before. This year we go straight to the European Championship, and feels like this weekend we are up running and present the work that we should do and the way that we can do when we reach the right level.
As I say, you've been here lots of times. So nice to see Hulius on an upward trajectory. Lots of fans here this weekend. Okay, they got very wet a couple of times, but there's been a great atmosphere, hasn't there?
Really nice to see, and I'm happy for the organizers, because you know that we have been discussing so many times how should we water the track, what should we do, and how should we face it with the hole. And I mean, I don't know how many laps we run in Hulius this weekend, but it's amazing how good condition the track is. And it's also very, very nice to see Morgan happy. I haven't seen him happy for the last 3-4 years. So no, it's a good atmosphere, and I think actually also, you know, that bad weather is good racing. I mean, it happened a lot. It turned things around. So I think that people can live with it. There come some drops, and they can see these big fights. Because when it's raining, it's amazing to see what good racing it is, and the drivers really have to show the skills, and it made things upside down a bit.
Thank you, Tommy. Great to have you here, a specialist even of Hulius and rallycross. Cars returning from Parc Fermé now. There is Gonzalez. Brilliant job by the RX5 drivers this weekend. Brilliant jobs across the board, really. In the changeable conditions, brilliant job by this team, set promotion. Diego Martinez, won the RX5 final. I might go in and chase after him in a minute, see what we're doing for time. Johnny Tapinen's full Fiesta being re-prepped. Great job by set promotion, as I was saying there, that they got Albert Koch's car turned around after that contact in the semi-final to still make the final. Andreas Backerud's team as well, chilling out here. There's not that many people around. Also a part of Hulius. Practicing for the World Cup. Ireland are rubbish at football though, so I'm sure the O'Donovan family won't be troubling any football scores anytime soon. Let's have a look around the back of Team RX Racing and see if anyone is here. Not at the moment. I might just interrupt Ollie O'Donovan's in a discussion with Orica as things stand. Here's Kasper Janssen's car returning from Parc Fermé. Who's driving Kasper Janssen's car? A mechanic. I really would like to have spoken to Kasper. Perhaps that's not possible. He didn't even turn up for the... he was in the doping, anti-doping sample area, so wasn't able to speak to Kasper in the media pen interviews either. Let's loiter for a moment and have a look on at Ollie Donovan and Sam Clennell having a chat with the Orica engineers. Vincent on the right, very, very experienced, been a part of rallycross engine development from all the way back when Kenneth Hansen first started running Citroëns. Sam Clennell clutching a couple of helper's wings, they look like. From here, head back up and see if I can come across any more drivers. Alana O'Donovan isn't about to... I could interview instead of Patrick, actually. But if you were Patrick, how would you summarise your weekend?
Not the best. But super fun. For us, anyway.
Glad you enjoyed it. Alana O'Donovan saying Patrick's weekend wasn't the best. No, he went out in the quarterfinals with a puncture. I don't really want to wrap up without having spoken to one last person, but it is fairly empty at the moment. Where is everybody? It's hilarious. Well, maybe they've all gone up Happy Street. Let's have a quick look over at the track. So Martinez won RX5. Oh, fantastic. Some victims while we wait for other people. Goodness knows what they've been doing down here. But Andrew Coley is walking back with Kareem, the fantastic videographer. Julia, FIA media delegate for Rallycross, who is yet to be on the podcast, and she's desperately waiting for me to drop the camera or the mic or something again. Julia, your first year in Rallycross, Hurlis is a special place. How much are you enjoying being part of this sport? Because I think it's clear how much I like it, but you didn't really know about Rallycross until a few months ago. How are you finding it?
You're really selling me there with the not known part, but no, it's
people don't know, do they? This is the best, the most hidden secret, isn't it? And I think Rallycross isn't where it needs to be. It needs to be much higher than it is. I don't think it's disingenuous from someone who doesn't know about the sport coming into it, but it's more about selling the experience of people who do come into it, how amazing it is, and how are you finding it?
100%. I think this was the best weekend to watch Rallycross. Honestly, if you've never seen Rallycross, that's what I was saying to people earlier. I was like, I'm going to recommend that all my friends watch this race, because honestly, it was the best weekend we've had so far in the year. And as you say, like, you know, I'm still quite new and still trying to figure out how everything works, but we've had absolutely all the conditions this weekend. Everything has happened. People were P24 and then ended up being P2. Like, we were chatting with OC and Johan earlier, and they were all saying like everything happened this weekend. So you know, it was great to see all the drivers being so excited to be here and drive here, but also like to see the cars being a little bit mixed and see what can happen in Rallycross, really. So I'm really, really excited for the rest of the year now.
And obviously, you know a lot about motorsport. You come from a motorsport family. This is new to you, as we've said. How are you finding that the paddock in Rallycross? For me, it's very special. We're very lucky working on the broadcast that I can walk into almost any truck and drag drivers out of engineering meetings to come and speak to them on the broadcast. We've got such incredible access that maybe you don't get in other series, which are a little bit more clamped down if there are manufacturers involved. How are you finding the atmosphere and the feeling in the paddock?
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Unlike anything I've ever seen before, the level of access you have to talk to drivers, talk to mechanics, talk to spotters, you know, they're all so welcoming. They're all so, like, it almost feels like a big, I know people say a big family and it's quite overrated, but it does almost feel like a big family. Everyone is generally so passionate about being here and so happy about being here. And I've never seen this level of access where you can just walk up to, you know, a team or a mechanic in the paddock and be like, sorry, what is that you're doing on the car? Can you talk me through it? Or like, oh, I'm sorry, that piece looks really, really cool. What is that? Like, from all level, and they don't judge because they know people are excited to be here and they want to know more about it. And this is what we need for the future of motorsport, I think. Not paddock being, you know, super, super, necessarily super huge, but you know, it's great to see the access and it's great to see people from different teams helping each other and interacting. You don't really get to see this often, so I'm really, really happy to be here and get to witness it.
Lovely to have you here. I'm sure you've got some press releases to write, so that's normally my job. I'll let you go. Andrew Coley, just quickly, I'm trying to summarise the weekend. I can't bloody remember what happened, to be honest. It's an absolute nightmare. If you can tell me what happened in Q2, apart from Kristoffersen being back flagged, I'll be amazed, because it's all gone, really, and you'll get it all back, but it's just been so intense all weekend, hasn't it? It's been absolutely mental.
I agree completely, Matt. I couldn't tell you anything that happened in any of the sessions. It's quite mad, and obviously we...
And that's because we're constantly looking forward, aren't we? We're constantly working on the next broadcast, we're constantly looking what's ahead.
Once that race is gone, you reference stuff, and you think, oh yeah, he was there. But it's hard as well when you're across the four different categories, and then you're out for some of it, and obviously I'm in there for the whole thing commentating, I don't get around the paddock like you do, but it's... We then dip into the RX1 stories while we're covering RX4, and I'm like, yeah, what if Johan does that? And then I'm like, oh yeah, RX4, and it just, yeah, it's a lot for your brain, basically. But it was, Julia said, and you said, everything happened this weekend. It's a great demonstration of how random the sport can be and how you can't ever count your chickens in rallycross, definitely, ever. But no, I can't remember any of it, mate. I'm absolutely knackered. I think you are as well. You said it when we came off air on one of them. You put everything into the broadcast emotionally. And you come off air, I just want to sit down now and have a nice cup of tea.
As you're talking, I just realised my feet are still wet from 11 o'clock this morning, which is, I mean, the mark of how this new format works as well, the Q4 for RX1, that we start with first thing on Sunday morning, you go through the rest of Q4 for the other categories, and then we go straight into quarterfinals for RX1. I was in Team RX Racing reporting on the fact that Ollie O'Donovan wasn't going to be making it into the quarters. Looked across at the board that the team had written up, and it said the quarterfinal pre-grid at 11 o'clock, and I was like, surely that's wrong. Looked at the clock, it was 11:08. It felt like we'd been doing it all day. Yeah. It's been that sort of intensity that I haven't felt in a rallycross environment for quite some time.
It's a funny old sport. We often find, this has been really honest, we often find Q1 a bit dull, don't we? Being really honest.
I say that on air, yeah. It doesn't deliver.
Because you have random grids. So yeah, you've got a couple of guys who are going to be P20 with a couple of guys who are going to P1, so it's not a great race. And then come Q2, everyone's slotted in where they are, plus you've got what happened in Q1 and the stories from where they were earlier on in the day. I can't remember what the question was. But yeah.
Rallycross is great, isn't it? And we all love it.
Yeah, there we go. That's about the size of it, mate. I think I've expended all my brain cells, I'm afraid, already today. You might be too late for anything useful.
Fantastic. What an insight. What you will have realised, though, is I've got the car keys in my pocket, so you can't run away without me today.
Oh, yeah, you've got my bag as well, haven't you?
Fantastic. Are we eating here?
Yes.
Yeah, we are eating here. Eat and leave, says Andrew Coley, who usually, this won't surprise you, viewers and listeners, to know that Andrew Coley likes leaving the paddock before I do, but as you say, to the bitter end. Something that goes hand in hand with being an anorak. Right, let's try and find... there's the real Patrick O'Donovan, not the pretend one, so let's grab a word of him, because I think he was the first big scalp of the how the quarterfinals went. Patrick O'Donovan, we've already spoken to the substitute Patrick O'Donovan, but to be honest, her insight was weak.
That is
a substitute, yeah. But I don't think you can knock your sister and your cousin, can you? Because they stand there all weekend selling your merch. I think you're the first proper scalp of the semi-finals. The quarter-finals. You wish it was the semis, I guess. The quarter-finals have been brought in to bring more jeopardy, and this weekend, that's what you got. It just didn't work out for you.
No, sorry, I'm slightly distracted by the fact that you look like a tourist with a GoPro sellotape to you.
Well, it's in a desperate bid for it not to fall off, because every one of these I've done so far, the camera's fallen apart or gone flat, so hopefully it remains charged and doesn't fall off.
No, that's a good idea. It's no secret we've had an absolute shocker of a weekend. I mean, I think, of course, yesterday it was hard to not be happy with the result that we had going in overnight, but I mean that was a fluke, let's not pretend it wasn't. Pae missed the joker, and that's why we were there. We were consistent, but we were consistent because we fought really hard to get the results that we did, and I think a lot of it, of course, was because of other people's misfortune, and sometimes the luck goes your way, but it feels like for the majority of this year it hasn't been going our way, and we struggled a lot. So yeah, it's a tough weekend, but we haven't had any shortage of those this year.
Talk me through that move on Martin Enland in Q1. It was Q1, wasn't it, I think?
Enland.
What did I say?
Markland.
Martin Markland. Martin Enlund. Anton Markland was here, but he was wearing a different hat. He was wearing a backward hat, which I never thought I'd see. No, Martin Enlund, I think it was in Q1, might have been Q2. You ended up behind Martin Enlund all day on Saturday, didn't you? But a great move. How much did you enjoy pulling that off?
Yeah, that was a satisfying move. It was satisfying again in Q3 when I did another move on him. But I like overtaking. I don't like being overtaken, of course. That's natural. But no, I think he's a... I like racing against him. He's a really, really respectful driver when you're with him. You know, he pushes you hard and he can defend hard, but he gives just as much as he takes. And yeah, I mean, it was a super respectful battle between us both. We gave each other room at all times. And yeah, when you get a battle with that and you get to race against somebody with as much respect as we had for each other there, it makes it all worth it. And it's just a really nice, pleasant experience, to be honest.
Quarterfinal then, you had a puncture, didn't you? Clip the curb, I think. Tyre went down. The pace fell away. I know Osi Vaby passed you, and it's just tough then, isn't it? And the conditions have been so hard this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people, obviously, at the end of the day, you create your own luck. And yesterday we managed to create a lot of it for ourselves. And I'm not quite sure what we uncreated, but something didn't quite go right today in how it all panned out. And yeah, very unlucky with the puncture and with the move that OC made on us, but yeah, I mean, if you don't laugh, you'll cry, and right now I'm doing neither, so I'm trying to decide which one I'll do.
Next weekend, you've got a big weekend ahead, haven't you? And then on to Mondello Park, your family's home round of the European Rallycross Championship. I don't think any of us ever thought we'd see the day of that. How much are you looking forward to going to Mondello, where you've had a lot of success in the past, and seeing a lot of family and friends and competing at home?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, it's nearly double my lifetime since the last time the European Championship went there, which is, it's just really crazy. I mean, I think anyone that remembers that event back in the day is, they're quite old now. So, especially anyone who competed in it. But I think it's going to be amazing to be able to get there and race in front of a home crowd. You know, I've raced there before in the British Championship and in the Irish Championship against the. Against some fellow like familiar faces in Ireland and the UK, and I think to be able to go there as a European champion and to go there with our team and not bring but to have everybody there from the European Championship is going to be quite special. I think for our family to be able to see a glimpse of what we usually do throughout the year, that's going to be nice as well. You know, some of them have come to some European events, but you know, it's a long way and it's quite expensive as well to get out to these events. So I think, yeah, for our family to be able to come and experience, that's going to be quite special.
Thank you, Patrick. See you in Mondello Park. Patrick clearly disappointed with a difficult weekend. Let's just have a quick walk up back to Set Promotion, who have four drivers, all of whom have done a fantastically good disappearing act here. Some team members around, but I'm sure none of those here will appreciate me for a moment interviewing them. And on that basis, as the paddock gets increasingly quiet, I'm sure it'll get busy again when dinner is served in the catering a bit later on, but at the moment I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Talking Loose, brought to you by Turn One. Before I finish, I must say happy birthday to my wonderful little boy, 3 years old today, and yeah, missed him very much this weekend. Has been a fantastic weekend of action here in Julius, and I cannot wait to get to Mondello Park, because yeah, that's going to be special. New track for everybody. Even those that raced in the British Championship event a few weeks ago didn't quite experience the track as it's going to be in a couple of weeks. So yeah, look forward to that. Keep up with all of the Rallycross news on the Talking Loose social medias, and I'll speak to you very soon.